And I'm going to tell you a little bit about this song. And my friend just asked me, are you an extrovert or an introvert? Sometimes I'm both. But in my travels, I was at a Bible college and I was let go very quickly, and it kind of upset and rocked my world. And I didn't understand. And I got a position at a church in New England. I'm originally from Pennsylvania. So moving south was difficult for me. Moving north was difficult for me. So when you're stuck in the middle, everyone has their traditions. In New England, they're very closed off. If anyone is from New England, I'm sorry. but then you'll know what I'm talking about. And especially in the area I was around in Boston. It took them a long time to gain trust of you. And when I went there, I lived with a family, and it was a holiday, and the church had an event, and the family was invited to this event, and they didn't invite me. And I was new, and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do on the holiday? And so I just sat in my room, and I kind of had like a little pity party. And I'm like, I'm in a new town, I'm in a new state, I don't know anybody, it's a holiday, and I'm a type of person that likes to go. I do like to be on the go. And it was the Lord just said, just take this time and just be with me. And I sat on the floor, I was literally on the floor crying, and this song came to me. And it was a reminder that, you know, I can chase my dreams, I can go to new towns, I can be around new people, but the only place that I can go is close to Him, where I'm going to find the comfort that I need. And this is the song, Close to You. Can I come to the place where I'll be with you forever? Can I come to the place where I find my rest? It's a quiet place where I see your grace. And I know that you have given more than I could ever give to you. So this place of rest is my favorite place, the place where my heart is renewed. So I come to the place where I find my rest, the only place I can come is close to you, close to you. Lord, let me be close to you. Lord, let me hide myself in thee. So I come to the place where I find my rest, the only place I can come is close to you. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer,
blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. So draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, the only place I can come is close to you. The only place I can come is close to you.
Thank you so much, Annette. Thank you for being willing to do this today. You are amazingly talented and a wonderful friend. I want to, Daniel, yes, can you turn the lights on? Because I won't be able to see these tickets unless the lights are on, and I might not be able to see them then. I want to go ahead and do the door prizes. We have Susie. Star to be thankful for the door prizes. She works at it used to be called the Cody plant. I don't know what it's called anymore, but they have the Purity products. And if y'all have seen these in the stores, they're not cheap. It's a higher end line of all kinds of stuff we have here. Pumpkin icing. Wow. Does this actually have cream cheese in it? No, I'm kidding. But it's just a bunch of products that I want to draw the tickets out and go ahead and give these away so the time doesn't get away from us. Okay, so the ticket ending in 037. Oh, okay. Well, here have you some pumpkin icing body wash. No, yeah, that's right. It's something to bathe in. Okay. And the next one is holiday pajamas. And it's shower gel, yes. Okay. 033. Oh, how about that? Look at that. That looked rigged. Y'all sitting right beside each other. Doesn't it look rigged? But I promise I didn't rig it. By the way, this is from Romania. This is one of the first things I bought when I moved there. I don't even know that they do this anymore, but it's the old-timey, like the inside of it looks like pottery, and it's porcelain glazed. And I thought, I'm going to bring this today to put the tickets in. Okay, 039. Daniel, stop. There's no 039? Somebody must have left. Did you get a ticket? You didn't get a ticket when you came in? Well, she needs a ticket. Okay. Maybe whoever had that left, because several people did have to leave. Okay. 043? Yep. Okay. And yours a fresh cream. Can I smell it?
Yes.
Okay, and then this is a cleanse pill treat. This is a facial kit. 044. It's you. How about that? And as a mama of six, you need to treat yourself to a facial. Okay. 049. Is that you? Okay. What am I pulling out of here for you? Amazing Grace, no, Pure Grace Nude Rose. I'm afraid. I mean, what is this about?
Whipped body cream.
Oh, whipped body cream. Okay. I just, you know, there's an age you get to, you just don't want to hear the word nude anymore. You just don't want to hear that word. Okay. I shook it up really well and got 048. 048, going once, going twice? No. Okay. Pull another one out. 052. Oh, look at there. Our pregnant mama. You can use some lotion on that belly, girl. That's right. Haley is our church secretary and Daniel's brain. Okay. 035. What are we pulling out here? Facial cleansing cloth. 035. Is that you, Miss Joyce? How about that? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. She's got a whole bunch of stuff in here. Oh, and this one comes with a pump. Firming body emulsion. Oh, yes. Like you just slather it all over, I guess, before you go to the beach. 055. Is that you? See? That's what you needed, a ticket. That's funny. Okay. Now we've got three different lip glosses. So I'll pull out three different tickets. 038. Is that you? How about that? You are getting peppermint stick. Okay. My mom just informed me I wasn't pulling enough people's tickets on her row. Okay. So this one is vanilla birthday cake. Oops. 032. That's you. Don't tell Carissa you won something with sparkles in it. Do not tell her. And this last one is called sugar sprinkles. 051. That's you? Oh, how about that? You are welcome. Okay, and then the last four are Bloomin' Onions to Outback. It's a free... What'd you say? Somebody trade a pregnant woman if you win the Bloomin' Onion. 031. Is that you? Okay. She's willing to trade with you. You don't go there? Yeah, she's willing to. Y'all work it out. Okay. Oops, I got to do that again because it's not a very big vase. 045. 045, that's not you. Anybody 045? Nope. Okay. Pull another one out. 054. That's funny. That is really funny. It was 45 and then 54. It was nice of Outback to donate these to us. And I think you were responsible for getting these donated, weren't you, Daniel? 050. Yep. Miss Brenda, there you go. Now everybody else is going to wish they wouldn't have left early. And then the last one, 041. Oh, how about that? There you go. Yay. Thank all of y'all for coming. And we thank Miss Susie and Outback for those gifts. And now let's carry on. I want to say that, remind y'all that the plate is up here if you want to give a love offering to Annette or buy her CDs for $10. And if you want to talk to me about sponsoring a child, I am always available for that. So I titled our afternoon session. I had not planned on speaking about this at all. This was something the Lord gave me in the shower last week. So this was a completely different thing. And why the shower? Because I told you, this is the only place I can go to where no one talks to me. And then sometimes Daniel even walks in to talk to me when I'm in the shower. And then he gets kicked out because I'm like, this is my alone time. When Daniel and I were still in Romania, I told you that a lot of children had been adopted in Romania, but there were some children that were taken from us through illegal international adoptions. One family got caught up in all the corruption, international adoptions, and he was a journalist for a major news source in France, and they were trying to adopt an infant from us. Her name is Dinah, And he took it to the press when Romania did what they did. So they were able to force, with a lot of media attention, they were able to force the issue, and they got her adopted. And after she was adopted, they asked us to come to France and see her. This was, I don't know how long she would have been there at that point. Not a year, because she was still little and she didn't remember us anymore. So it wouldn't have been quite a year. I want to say she was maybe two. And we thought that was, because we were coming home to the United States, and they said, well, stop by. Can you stop by in France and see us? So our travel agent worked it out, and it didn't cost us anything to stop for a week in France. But they knew we wanted to see Paris, having never been to France before. They knew we'd want to see Paris. But as you know anything about traveling in Paris, like the minimum hotel is like $300 a night. So there was no way we were going to be able to afford to stay in Paris. So they arranged for us to stay with his journalist friends that are about an hour outside of Paris, fluent in English. They were a really, really sweet couple. And we had to take a commuter train, about an hour commuter train, into Paris. And I, as you heard me say earlier, I am, you know, an extrovert means somebody who's outgoing. An introvert is, you know, the other word is just being shy. And I'm an extrovert, and so I am shameless when it comes to language. I do not know a lick of French, and I was determined I was going to speak French when I was there. Now, French is a Latin-based language, and so is Romanian, and as well as Italian, Portuguese, and Spanish. So I was determined that I wasn't going to be one of those annoying Americans who didn't try to speak French. I was going to try. So, and Daniel and I had heard all the stories, and I'm going to tell you, especially Parisians, if they know you're American, they do not want to talk to you in English. And part of it, Americans bring on themselves, to be honest, because we were in the Louvre waiting in this line, because if I'm in Paris, I'm going to see the Mona Lisa. I'm not going home until I've seen the Mona Lisa, okay? So I'm going to wait in this long line to go into the Louvre. And we're in line, and what they're doing at the ticket, you know, the ticket counter is that behind glass, they're saying bonjour. And I mean, you know, people would not even try to say bonjour back. They would say, hello! You know, just it always would come back in English if you were from America. So I tried to be respectful, and having lived in, you know, a different culture and understanding you need to try to respect their rules, I would say bonjour back. I would try to order in French, and they would like giggle a little bit, and then they wouldn't like speak English back to me. They would just like try to make me work it out to figure. I don't know what we ate one night. We'll never know. But I figured that, you know, I could say bonjour and merci anytime that I could, and they would just let me do it. But after we'd been there, like on day two, after watching some people, I was like, I got this. So we went to this place. I started speaking fluent Romanian, and they were like, do you speak English? And I would say, oh, yes, I speak English, too. Like, I was so smart for knowing English. So I would speak English with a foreign accent, and they would just continue to converse with me. I'm not, you know. Mama didn't raise no fool. Nah. I figured it out. So we would go everywhere, and I'd start speaking in Romanian, and then they would ask me, did I speak English? So I think we stayed in Paris about three, we went back and forth about 3 days, and we went to the south, very south of France, that's called Basque Country. And I don't know if you guys know anything about this area of the world. It's beautiful. They're right there on the Pyrenees Mountains, and you cross right over into Spain. It's very, very beautiful there. And when we were down there, that's where the adoptive family lived. They would take us everywhere. I think we gained 5 pounds in 5 days. We ate a gazillion type of cheeses. They would take us to they cooked all this rich food. And when we started venturing out in public with them, I would understand that they were telling people we were Americans. And they would go, oh, Americans. And one person gave us, Daniel and I, we did it at work down in Euro. She gave me I think it was about a $20 piece of chocolate. It was that area of the world is where the monks developed chocolate. Can we just say amen for the monks in France? Can I just say amen for the monks in France? So you know that chocolate had to somehow be associated with the Lord. I mean, come on, it had to be associated. And we were perplexed at the difference in how we were treated there. Until it hit me when this older French person started talking to them and talking to me. She had not forgotten what the U.S. had done for France in World War I and World War II. She knew they'd be speaking Russian or German or a different language had the U.S. not gotten involved. She didn't forget what we had done for her, and she was appreciative, and I got to be rewarded as a result of her not forgetting what Americans had done for them. But Parisians no longer cared anymore. But I'm going to tell y'all, when I was in the shower last week, the Lord said, a lot of you are like that. You forgot what I've done for you, and you focused on what other people have done and how they've hurt you, and you've taken your eyes off me, and you've forgotten, and the joy of your salvation is gone because you are focusing on other people, and they're getting the space in your brain that I deserve. And I was like, woo, that'll preach. And I got out of the shower, boom, sat down at the computer, and I started typing. There is only one thing that you have to ask yourself when it comes to this. There's just one question. Who am I going to allow to occupy my thoughts? Other people or God? You only have two choices. It's other people, other things. Things can be, you know, anything. Money, your children, whatever. Or God. You got two choices. Proverbs 4:25-27 says, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Psalms 119:37 says, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. The old hymn, the chorus from the hymn, turn your eyes from Jesus, comes to mind. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. If we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, nothing else matters. It fades away. Annette, when she was preparing this, I think even before I told you what the second session was going to be, you were going to sing Oceans. And that song, Oceans, is about Peter walking on the water. And I want to point this out to you. Matthew 14:22-31 says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, let that sink in for a minute, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Okay. I teach my children that you can't see the wind, right? We teach you can't see the wind. What was Peter seeing when he was on the water? We don't know exactly, but he was walking on the water. Was he seeing the wind blow the waves higher? Was he seeing it blow the sail on another ship? What was he seeing? He saw something that gave him the impression that the wind was considerably stronger than he thought. And he was afraid. We are in a nation right now that is crippled by fear. Anxiety is at an all-time high, with anxiety medication being the number one selling medication, psychotropic medication in the United States. And a lot of times you don't know what it's for, so I don't know if that is an accurate statistic or not, because depression and anxiety go hand in hand a lot of times. But what I do know is that we are crippled by fear. Fear is the one thing that can make somebody take their eyes off God in a heartbeat. Fear of that diagnosis. Fear of what life is going to be like alone. Fear of what it's going to be like when you're uncertain. Fear of the thoughts. You can fear your thoughts. You can fear the thoughts that you're going to have from things that have happened in the past. He took his eyes off Jesus, and fear set in. I don't know how many times it has happened to y'all, but as a mom, when I think something is wrong with my child, a fear sets in. It's the first thing that happens. Fear sets in because I can't stand the thought of anything happening to one of my kids. But God has shown me over and over and over again, that is not for you to decide. I work out all of that. You can't control that. Don't fear what it is you're trying to control. And boy, I love to control something now. Daniel Sims will get back there and testify if I gave him a minute. But what I have learned is the more I try to control, the more fearful my behavior becomes and the more fearful my words are. Even words spoken in anger, when you're angry and yelling, and that is oftentimes a symptom of fear because you feel like you can't control things. Somebody say amen. Go this way. Okay. I will tell you another surefire way to get your eyes off God, and this is just strictly from experience and dealing with people really over the last 3 years of doing counseling, but also I saw it in ministry, is not living out Matthew 18. Nobody's going to want to talk about this, Matthew 18, because this is about confronting other people that have harmed you. This is about restoring a right relationship with that person, even if you're not best buddies with them. But most people don't live this out because of fear of rejection and fear of confrontation. We've got to start getting this right in the church, sisters. We've got to start getting this right because this kind of behavior is ripping apart churches and communities all across America. Matthew 18, with the goal of going to the person, is about restoring the relationship, not about reproving your point. Now, some of you will say, I don't want the relationship restored. Okay, you still have to make it right so you can be right with God. You don't have to trust somebody again. It doesn't say you have to be best buddies with them and trust them again, but you've got to make it right with God, and that you have to confront them. Now, I know people who say, I cannot go to that person. I'm going to put it in an email or a letter or whatever. I have done that before, and you know what? It failed miserably because you can't hear voice and inflection in writing. They've got to be able to hear your heart behind it. Sometimes, though, there are some people that will, I mean, I've also been in a situation where they said, no, I will not meet with you. I've been in that situation, too, because they knew what I was coming to say. No, I will not meet with you. That's on them. You've got to be able to meet with them. Then you take a person and you go, I tried that. Took the person to go with them. Nope, I'm not meeting with y'all. This is not about me. Okay, you've got to do what you can do. In that situation, what you have to do is forgive and move on. Forgive and move on. But dealing with the church, Matthew 18, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. If they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So, you know, clearly at that point, you're not going to have a relationship with them anymore. Now, we don't typically traipse to the front of the church with someone who's offended us and bring them before the church to let everybody know that they've offended us. I do know churches that do that, and I can tell you for sure I would not join that congregation because I don't really think that that helps things. I believe that the way that they are dealing with this here had to be because of something specific that was, because my title in my Bible is dealing with sin in the church. So that's talking about sin. But somebody can offend you without necessarily sinning. Does that make sense? Like, they can say words that hurt and offend you. They didn't necessarily mean to sin, but you still need to confront them because you were offended by it, and that's what the Bible tells us to do. John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." That's a command. You must love one another. That's not like a suggestion. Luke 17:3, "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." There's not an option there. Like, if they ask for forgiveness, you must give it to them no matter how bad the hurt is. I'm walking through a very terrible situation with friends of mine right now that involves adultery. And the spouse that has been unfaithful is repentant. And the spouse who has been very hurt by the behavior is wanting to reconcile the marriage. And you don't see that happen much, honestly. What you don't see happen much is people repentant when they've committed adultery. But in this case, there is repentance. The problem is, it's not the offending spouse's first time sinning. Not the first time committing adultery in this marriage. That's even more unusual that somebody would want to stay even after they've been harmed a second time. But this is what I'm going to tell you, and this is what I know from life experience and from counseling experience. They could choose to divorce, and the person who had committed adultery would go their way, and the person who had been hurt would go their way. Either way, that person who has been hurt is still going to have to forgive, because they're either going to have to grieve that spouse and all that they had together and the years that they had together and try to make a life with a new person. They're going to have to grieve that spouse, or if they stay, they're going to have to work out the pain of what's happened and figure out how to have a different marriage from that point forward. Either way, it's going to be hard for both of them, because both of them are going to have to grieve, and then both of them are if the one doesn't work out the issues, they're just going to do it again. They'll be a repeat offender. That's usually what you see happen. So I talked to the spouse that had been so hurt. They called me in a very, very bad place. And I said, what I just told you, I said, you have the right, biblically, to walk away, but this is what's going to happen. You're going to have to grieve. They have young children together. You're going to have to grieve, figure out the parenting back and forth. And the response was, well, I think I'd just rather fix the mess I have than start a new mess. And I said, good for you. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But when you do that, and there are people in this room that have been hurt that way, when you do that, you get a relationship with the Lord that the rest of us don't necessarily understand. Because you get to give that kind of unconditional love and forgiveness to somebody, and that changes who you are. It changes who you are when you can do that. Because you have given something, that unconditional grace and forgiveness that God gives to us. Here's the problem with sin. We rate it. We rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 in our mind. Adulterer, you're an 8. Murderer, you're a 9. Pedophile, you're a 26. Gossiper, you're a 1. Swearer, you're a 4. We rate it. Drunkard, you're a 10. We rate it on the scale, and we look at, the bar graph. God looks down, and all he sees is sin. It's just all sin. But we categorize it because it makes us feel better about ourselves if we're honest. Well, I didn't commit adultery. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a drug addict. I've never done any drugs in my life. Bravo. But that sister in Christ that you just tore apart in church in front of 4 other people? Tell me. How's that different? I had a thought the other day. I don't know, I heard this along the way. Believe nothing that you hear and half of what you see. Not a lot of people, you know us and know Daniel in this area. He's not from this area. And I heard myself say one day, and goodness gracious, I'm glad I caught myself, that I wear the shortest possible skirts I could for my pastor, making a joke, right? And I heard a woman gasp, and I heard her say something. She was in earshot. I didn't realize she was in earshot. And I had to turn right around and say, I'm sorry, I was making a joke. My husband is my pastor. And she was like, oh. Y'all, I have shoestrings hanging out of my mouth all the time. All the time. And just in a moment of trying to be funny, you know, I could have done a lot of damage to, well, a lot, everything, you know, lots of things. But if she believed what she heard me saying that, Miss Brenda's like dying over there. She was not younger than me. She was a bit older than me. So I should have realized that other people could possibly hear what I was saying. But just, she could have taken that and said, you know that woman over there, I mean, she is a harlot. She is an absolute harlot. She is going to church to try to cause her pastor to stumble. And just something as simple as that, like, her words would have been powerful. Did she have any business repeating what I said? No. But would she have? Oh, yeah. Why? There was a quote the other day, and I wish I'd have written it down, but I'm one of those people, like, I see, nothing good ever comes across Facebook until I'm at the doctor's office with my daddy, and then I don't have anything to write anything on. But it said, apparently it's from a song, it said, be the kind of sister that fixes your sister's crown without telling the world it was broken. I don't know if any of y'all saw that. I love that. I want to be that kind of sister. I don't want everybody to have to know your business. And I hope people know what they know about me, not just as a pastor's wife, but as a friend, is when they bring something to me, it goes into a vault. And it's going into my vault when I leave here. That's what I hope they know about me. Because your life is precious to me, and I would never want to do anything that would offend or hurt somebody else. But if I do, come tell me. The people I respect the most in life are the people that had the courage to come to me and say, you have hurt me. You have offended me. Those are the people that I respect the most in life that are willing to come to me. And Daniel feels the same way. He's never upset when somebody from the church comes to him and says, Pastor, I got to tell you about this. I don't agree with this. Not that he loves that, but you know what I mean. He loves people that have the courage to do that. Because that takes courage. That takes Christian and spiritual maturity. And we all need to walk in that kind of spiritual maturity. When you're out saying things about other people, I guarantee you it's because of how you feel about yourself. I guarantee you there's some hurt in there, and it makes you feel better to bring somebody else down, and that is not what Christ calls us to do. You change. People can change. I'm an example of somebody who can change. Oh, my goodness. If God can change me, he can change anybody. I mean, he used a donkey in the Old Testament. If he can use a donkey, he can use me. He can use anybody. But other people sometimes need to keep you in the box you were in because it makes them feel better about themselves. They need to keep you where you were, but that's a lie from the enemy because God can bring about change, and he uses his word to do that. People do change because God has the power. But when people tell you of your shortcomings, your faults, point them back to Jesus and his work on the cross. That's who you point him to. One of the hardest things to do as a Christian is to forgive another Christian who does not ask for it. I know this. We all know this. Or even more difficult, for someone you confront, but they lie and they say they did not do the offending thing you're confronting them about. You can't do anything about that. That is not in your control. You cannot control when someone would lie. You can't do anything about that, but you still have to forgive them. Some of you are suffering terribly because other people took their eyes off Jesus. Some of you are suffering terribly because other people took their eyes off Jesus. Forgive them anyway. Not because they deserve it. Not for that reason. because Jesus deserves to have all of your mind, all of who you are. No one else should have that place. The dangerous thing is you teeter on idolatry when you give somebody else that place. And we can't do that. Jesus deserves to have all of our mind. We can absolutely obsess over how someone has hurt us. It can turn into consuming thoughts. And honestly, when that happens, they still have control over you. I don't care if you were 10 years old and you had somebody in your family molest you. If you still have thoughts over that, and I deal with this all the time because of my background in child sexual abuse, they still have control over you, and they don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. All of us deserve to be set free of that. Trauma issues, though, can cause other types of problems in life. And, you know, with my dad being a Vietnam vet and having to deal with his PTSD, and for years I dealt with the PTSD of orphans and children that had been sexually abused, I can tell you that sometimes trauma gets you to a place where you need professional help. You need to go to someone and talk through this because you can't do it on your own anymore. And you shouldn't have to do it on your own. There should be godly people around you. If you're a sister in Christ, there should be godly people around you who will support you and love you through it. We all deserve that. Do you know what the word resolve is? It is both a transitive verb and a noun. You can hear the scripture shared today to strengthen your resolve to live a life, making sure there is nothing in your mind that is unresolved. We do not have the power to do this apart from Jesus, because he alone has the power to change our thought life. Through us, keeping our eyes on him in our daily life. I thank y'all for coming today. I appreciate you taking your beautiful Saturday to be here. And I pray that God has used something today for you. If it's not for you, maybe it'll be for somebody whose life you touch. And I look forward to talking to any of you who would like me to pray with you. Annette, you were just going to come up, and were you going to play a closing song, or do you not want to do that? Yeah. So why don't you, if you would play a closing song. If you need prayer, if there's stuff that you would like us to pray with you over, and us being me and or Daniel, I'm just going to be up at the front. I'm happy to pray with anybody. I'm happy to talk to anybody. Thank you for coming.
Today, Father, I pray that the words that we have heard, that the pain that we have in our heart we're all in a different place. And God, I pray that you would speak to our heart. And if we can encourage another person, maybe there is no pain in your life today, but you can encourage someone. Father, I pray that you would just give the words. Father, it's for your glory. Everything we do in our life is for your glory. And we thank you. Sing with me.
For your glory I was made.
For your glory.
For your glory, Lord.
For your glory I was made.
For your glory I was made. For your glory, Lord.
Thank you.